Good morning, Kim.
I'm guessing not a huge participant, though, in the halftime kick to kick during a footy game.
No. I'm a spectator, 100%.
All right. And we're talking lots of different types of kicking, not necessarily kicking a footy. But how does upper body strength contribute to overall kicking power, Melanie?
Okay, well, this is one of the interesting things, is that they've looked at the four different phases of kicking. So basically the backswing, like when you take your leg backwards, then the moment you start to bring your leg forward, you contact the ball, and then you follow through. And they've worked out that your upper body and arms have a lot to do with it. I mean, really what actually happens is when you're swinging the leg back on one side, you're actually rotating your body towards that side and sticking the opposite arm out sideways. And everyone just thinks it's associated with balance, etc. But no, this wonderful study came out of Brazil, and they're really looking at soccer players, and they're looking at a particular part of the swing phase. But they worked out that when they put some of the subjects through a training program where all they did was they just worked on the elbow, basically, inflection extension, and a little bit of trunk work, that they had a significant change in their ability to do the backswing. I mean, they even had wrapped the people's legs up in bands to make sure that no lower body stuff was actually being used. And then they noticed a difference between those that were just kicking without training versus those that were just doing upper body and trunk training.
See, soccer is huge in Brazil, so it doesn't surprise me that they've spent some time researching this. Can you explain the role of core stability and its relationship to upper body strength? Or did you already do that?
It's a great question, because even these guys that did the study just went, okay, we know that there can either be a transfer of energy, because you're basically sort of rotating one side, and they can get a transfer of energy between one body part going to another. But then they also go, was it just because their balance improved and they were able to bring their leg back further? But there's also the whole thing, and we've talked about this a little bit before, where we talk about connective tissue being fascia, and the fascial train, so where the connected tissue winds around different joints and different muscles and stuff like that, they think that that may also have a component. They just don't know which one it is. They just know it works.
So are there any common upper body injuries to be aware of when you're training to improve your kicking or your strength?
Not so much with injury, unless it changes your ability to move or accelerate that thing. So let's just say you've got a sore arm and you can't swing it out as far as you normally do, or that you're actually doing it more slowly. Yes, absolutely, that'll make a difference. So this is one of these big, this is a really, really great study when we start to give the idea of, does cross-training really matter? I mean, we know how many people are going, oh, I just want to play tennis. I just want to play soccer. Why are they making me do push-ups? Why are they making me do this? Now they've found a reason. It's a really good reason why your coach is yelling at you to do burpees. It does actually make a difference. Oh, in the
they're
outcome.
The worst. I reckon they are the worst thing that you could possibly do in a workout.
Oh, absolutely. They're cruel, but they actually have a point. And it's good. You know, everyone's going core. Like, why on earth are we doing planks? Now there seems to be a good reason for it. So guys and girls, like, it's just like this is a really positive outcome, that it's not a waste of time. It does actually improve your game.
Would you have three upper body strengthening exercises that would improve our game? And not just, you know, talking sport, just generally, you know, lifting groceries out of the back of the car, or, you know, lifting stuff up above our heads.
The most underestimated exercise is actually the good old push-up. Now, whether you do it on your knees, or whether you're able to stretch out all the way, or even if you're just trying to do the push-up, the amount of muscle area and also the grouping of muscles that get to be involved just in that simple exercise do so much for the trunk and does so much for the actual shoulders as well as obviously using your biceps and triceps just to get off the floor. So that is probably the number one thing that first comes to my mind. The other thing is, most people don't even think about trying to move their shoulders above like their normal functional height. I mean, we carry bags, we do our computer work, etc. But, you know, if you have a shoulder injury, don't try this. But otherwise, just see if you can hold your arms above your head and see if you can get there for longer than 60 seconds. That's actually going to give you a really good idea how strong those shoulder muscles are, because a lot of the time in that sitting position that we have all day, our shoulder joints tend to drop forward a little bit, and our biomechanics aren't that great, and we tend to get weak really quickly until the day you're challenged to actually use them.
All right.
And good old bicep curls are great.
I've been doing hands in the air since you said put your hands in the air. this could be the only part of my body that's fit. I'm not noticing anything at the moment, but should I keep going? What would I start
fabulous.
To notice?
I'm just thinking, fabulous. Like, you're like the one in 10. That's the thing, because most people find it really, really fatiguing.
I'm so still going.
I'm thinking you're a great spectator and you're there and your team obviously wins all the time because those hands are in the air. But it's a really, really uncommon position. And it's also one of the reasons why people a lot of the times come in with shoulder injuries, because they do things like, oh, decide to hang curtains or something on the weekend, things that they haven't done. Had their arms in the air for a while. So that is a really, really good sign. Maybe you're fitter than you think.
Well, maybe, because I've still got my hands in the air. I can notice that there's a little bit of blood draining from my hands. But other than that,
your colleague's got their faces pressed up against the window wondering, what is she doing this morning?
She's looking at me very strangely, I can tell you. I'm now committed. This is my competitive side. I just want to sit here and drop my arms. But alas, we need to move on. Melanie McAuliffe, always great to chat to you.
Speak to you next week, Kim.
All right, arms down. See you later.
Take care.